Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
And of course, there's always Josh's offensive voice, but I probably shouldn't do that.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Hi! I'm over here!
He's doing anything to avoid eye contact, which is hilarious.
What is up, dude?
Most of the time, he just wants to look at faces.
What's up, dude?
I guess you just want to look at boobs.
And just like every other guy, huh?
So you're all recording?
Yep, we're recording right now.
I'm going to work on latching him. So this might be noisy and gross, people. We'll just tell you that we're eating apples. We have a simultaneous recording going of us eating apples. You can do it, buddy. Good job. Okay. Hi, everybody. This is Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport, episode number 64, May 23rd, 2012.
And we're coming live from my living room on the comfy new couch. That is awesome. Because my microphone has a 30-foot XLR cable, so I'm going to use it, damn it.
Will you still listen? Will we still be tolerable when we're 64?
But don't bump.
So is this the what's up in your life segment, or are there anything else in this? Hi,
no,
Abby.
You can talk about what's up, what's on your lap, or what's in your life.
There's a baby and a cat and a boob in my lap. And a pillow. In my life, I love you more. Probably the most interesting occurrence was going to the drive-in movie theater in West Chicago to be in the vicinity of the Avengers, along with my husband, who'd already seen it twice, and my baby, who had no interest at the time. So I'd say I caught a good 60% of the film, and so what I caught of it I thought was excellent. It was very good script, very funny stuff. And, okay, he's got an excuse to be eating on the podcast. You don't.
Yeah, buddy.
Alex is exactly 12 weeks old today.
Yay!
So the day that you helped me go to the hospital for my 6-week postpartum appointment, he's exactly double the age that he was that day.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're gearing up for our trip to Arizona, so I imagine I won't be on the podcast again till...
Abby just tried to gnaw on the cord, and the XLR cable.
And at the same time as you were laughing, the baby farted. So I'm going to be in Arizona from June 2nd through June 9th, which would normally be the next time we would do a podcast after today. So it might, maybe you will do the next podcast with somebody else.
Perhaps.
So I love my baby. We're deciding that his eyes are blue and his hair is kind of a strawberry blonde, and I think he's gonna have curly hair. I was kind of hoping that he'd have straight hair, but it's all kind of coarse, so I think it's gonna end up being curly like his daddy's. And I love him more than anything on planet Earth. I mean, those of you who are parents probably understand. Those of you who aren't probably couldn't understand. But, you know, I have a lot of bad dreams about him because, you know, if something were to happen to him, you know, my heart would stop beating on the spot. And, you know, it seems like all he does is eat and sleep and poop, but, you know, yeah. He's got a lot of personality for an infant, I think. He's going to be 3 months old in 6 days. And what do you do that's interesting? He's really sight-oriented. He really likes looking at faces and giving gigantic smiles and studying faces and studying patterns, looking at books. You know, we're working more, we're trying to get him more on the things that are relating to movement. And, you know, he also stands if I hold him. His little legs are so strong that he can basically support his own weight. I mean, he can't balance without me, and he doesn't pull up, as they call it, but he can support his own weight entirely on his 2 feet. It's pretty cool. He's a pretty awesome baby. And,
he makes funny facial expressions. Yeah.
So next time I'm on the podcast, I should have the story of going to Arizona and going on a plane, you know, twice with the baby. So that should be, it's kind of terrifying. I'm just terrified about the packing. So, we'll see what happens. Baby care continues to be pretty futile. And it's almost impossible to get anything done ever. I have my 5-year anniversary of the day that Josh and I met on May 15th. And we've got our 3-year wedding anniversary coming up also between now and the next podcast. So
cool.
All right, so what's up in Luke's life?
Well, On Mother's Day, we visited you, because you're a mother.
That's right.
It's a fact that almost eluded you.
No, it didn't.
I remember the one time I brought it up, and it's like, well,
I asked you if you were going to see your mom on Mother's Day, and you said, maybe, but there are other people that I know who have become mothers recently. I'm like, okay, whatever. Because I knew you were talking about me, but...
You were like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
So,
you're supposed to celebrate your own mother or, you know, or your...
You're supposed to celebrate all mothers. It's called Mother's Day. It isn't called your Mother's Day.
Well, the other, you know, you celebrate... It would be more important for you to celebrate your mother than to celebrate me.
So apparently on Mother's Day, my mom went to have dinner with my sister and my brother, and she was talking to them about the Kickstarter, because she was aware of me doing something to raise money, but she wasn't really aware how it worked or she didn't know anything about the donation prizes or anything like that. So when I went up to visit her in Madison, or to visit there was a 21st birthday party for my cousin Steve in Madison. She had just kind of, you know, handed me a check and said, well, don't look at it now, look at it later. And when I looked at it later, I saw that it was for $300. So
the baby's staring at you, by the way.
Hey, guy.
Hi. So, when my mom...
Yeah, smileys.
So when my mom was talking to Amy and JT, she says to them... He's making the cutest happy faces right now.
Yeah.
She says to them, well, I donated some money to him. And then Amy and JT were both like, wait, so, you know, how much did you give him? And she didn't want to tell them how much she gave me, you know. So they kept badgering her. And then she finally says to them, all right, well, I gave him $300. And then JT says to her, you get a puppet!
So now it's official. She definitely gets a puppet.
Well, yeah, so...
Which you were going to do anyways, but...
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I was... You know, she didn't do it through the website, but she did donate $300, you know, towards the Kickstarter.
In
check form, not through the website. I still haven't cashed that check yet, but I'm most likely going to use that as the seed fund money for, like, getting the t-shirts printed and the other cost-related things of the prizes. We'll kind of start there. But yeah, so she's on the list of people who are getting a song about them on the EP. And,
Spit up. Thank you. I want a song about me. I want a song about me.
We'll see.
I do. I want a song about me.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh. Got that stuff off your face. Anyway, yeah. So that happened. What else happened? Let me look at my notes.
Kiss, kiss, kiss.
Oh, yeah. So speaking of my mom, I went out to my mom and Pete's house for a couple of days in a row because they were renovating the... it actually wasn't... Pete owns a bunch of rental properties. So the house in which I used to live in Kenosha, the downstairs portion of which he was renovating and fixing up and stuff. So I spent a day out there painting with my mom and then another day out there with Pete... taking junk to the junkyard and also picking up new furniture. So I was kind of manual labor guy for a couple of days, which was, appreciated by my mom and Pete.
And I gave you a week off,
yay.
So to speak.
So,
I didn't even ask you to come over all week.
Well, I was kind of, you know...
Well, except for a little while when you came over on Sunday.
Well, yeah. We came over for a little bit on Sunday to say hello. And then last night, me and Sarah went and had dinner with our friend George Makis because he had some ideas he wanted to discuss with us in detail. He wants Sarah to do a website for him. And he just had, you know, he's kind of always full of suggestions for me and for the Fump about, you know, how we should better promote ourselves or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I may take some of his ideas to the guys at the Fump and see what they think of them. So there's that.
Luke's distracted by a baby.
He's just spacing out. He's being a good dude. So, yeah, that's all I can really think of to talk about in those segments. So this is where we would put, like, a song break. I have a list of potential songs to play, but I don't know which ones I want to use or what order they'd go in. So I guess I could run to the next room and click stop so that we have a break point so I know where to put the edits in.
Okay.
All right.
This is the stop clicking song. It's boring and not very long. This is the stop. Are you still clicking stop yet?
Cage?
Oh. Hey, what's happening?
What are you doing here?
Oh, I just, I think I forgot something. Just, you know.
Wait a second. It's like 2 a.m. in the middle of the night.
Yeah?
And you're here in the recording studio alone?
So?
So what up? Explain yourself.
I just had to, you know, come back and,
What's that behind your back?
It's just...
Is that a flute? Dude, are you coming in here at night with a fucking flute and laying down flute tracks? You goddamn motherfucking stupid piece of shit!
What's behind your back?
What do you mean?
What's behind your back? What are you doing out here anyway?
What do you mean, what am I doing here? What are you doing here?
What are you doing here? You're on my shit about being here. What are you doing here? What do you have behind you? That's a trombone!
So what? I was gonna lay down... Fuck you! I'll fight you!
Well, it's 3 p.m., time to lug the gear. Got to get it on the stage. My muscles flex, my fucking sweat will save the day. When I check the mic, I fuck, I check the mic, I fuck, I check, I check, a 1, 2, 3. I plug it in, I make it sound as good as can be. Cause the rock is rock, but the road is roll. Gotta take the mic, I gotta take control. Gotta get that shit up on that fucking stage. Because the roader knows what the roader knows, and the roader knows that he wears black clothes and he hides off in the shadows off the stage. Because the roadie his eyes. And when the crowd roars, brings a teardrop to the roadie's eyes. Tears of pride, because it brought you the show. But you will never know, he's changing the strings while hiding in the wings. No matter how, the show must go on. Then a beautiful girl come to me. She say, hey, can I suck your dick? I say, yes, I am in love. But she quickly say, I sucked your dick and now give me that backstage pass. I do not want you, roadie. I want Cagey's chode. Oh! I'm standing at the threshold of your dreams. Without me, there'd be no sound from those amps. Without me, there'd be no lights on the stage. But you know the problem. Some warrior searching for a soul. No, I am the loner. I make the rock go.
Next segment involves calling Ken.
Oh, yes. Are we already recording again?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Let me get to...
Dinosaurs!
Let's flip over, though, because that side's softer. Are you a portable human? Do you get toted a lot? Are you frequently
every
toted?
Once in a while, every now and again. Ring, hello, let's call Ken.
Ding! Uh-oh.
Hello.
Hey, Ken, it's Luke.
You're on Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport, episode number 64.
Hi.
Hi.
So,
what's up?
Not too much. What's been going on with you lately, Ken?
Well, let's see. I've actually filled the hole in my life that my daughter created when she, instead of playing softball, decided to pull her tongue to do a musical. Spent a lot of time at Lombard Comics Park by Carrie's house and all over playing disc golf.
So if you missed that, people, that's disc golf. It's like golf, but with like frisbee-like discs.
Yeah, because I've just missed going outside doing things, so I've been doing that a lot. My daughter decided to spend some time to perform. The time that, because she couldn't, I figured she couldn't do both.
Right.
She couldn't both play softball, the dedicated time to softball, and to doing a musical.
That would be challenging.
Yeah, she would have. I didn't think she would have the time to do both and her homework. So, and it was also cheaper for her doing the musical too. Didn't have to worry about buying clothes, buying a uniform, and all that. And she was awesome, and it just well. But yeah. You know, that's how it is. And
I had a feeling that you were going to say something about disc golf.
Well, like I said, I've been doing that. That's basically what I've been doing my life. I mean, trying to avoid everything else.
You've gone over to my house a couple times to play a game with my husband.
Oh, of course, yes. Yes, I've been doing gaming a lot, too.
That game you and Josh play is some sort of Star Trek game?
No, it's not. It is a Star Trek game. It's based on, well, it's based on ships, both the Federation and the Klingon fleet. And in the game, you encounter scenarios similar to what has happened. Temporal anomalies, star pulses, black holes. There can be wormholes. Yes, even the car where Tribbles is a dangerous ship.
This has nothing to do with that, but I want the listeners to know that the baby is sucking on his hand, not my breast.
Okay.
So the sound of him sucking on his hand is much louder and less dignified, and yeah. I'd like them to know that's not my breasts that he's making that sound on.
First, right now I'm in the yard and I'm watching my cat through the window chewing on the blinds.
Uh-oh. Don't let her choke.
Well, the vertical blinds. I don't know why she's doing that, but that's what she likes looking outside and yelping at the birds. And when I open the door until I hear her go after him, then she runs away.
Look at how Alex curls his toes around my finger. That's because we're descended from primates. And primates grab onto things with their feet as well as their hands.
Yes.
I had a dream about you last night. It was some weird dream where you were doing like this goofy, like Andy Kaufman type of performance where you were pretending to kill yourself, but you weren't really killing yourself. And I knew it was a performance, but Bill Putt didn't know. So Bill Putt was really sad and startled and upset even afterwards. And I had to comfort Bill Putt.
Interesting. Interesting.
I miss Bill Putt, by the way.
You didn't watch that final episode of House, did you?
I've never actually watched any episodes of House, so no.
I did.
Yeah, you actually watched one with me, Carrie, one time. It was an episode in the first season
I don't think I paid attention to the whole thing, though.
Yeah, you were just wondering why the... Oh, I can't think of her name. Why she gave House $100 after they found out that the woman was... that the patient's husband was poisoning her with gold. Mm-hmm. Was poisoning him with gold.
I don't remember that.
Poisoning him with gold. Oh, yeah, it was right after we met.
I ended up getting, like, House Season 1 on DVD as a gift once, but... I don't think I really have any intention of going back to watch it.
Yeah, it actually looks funny that my daughter, because they had like an hour perspective beforehand, where they just talked, like showed everything behind the scenes, and showed a couple scenes from the past. My daughter was so fascinated by it that for the first time, she watched the last episode.
Oh, wow. So her first episode was the last one.
The funny thing is, I had to actually use, because in the episode, I know you've seen this multiple times, Carrie. I had explained that just like the Phineas and Ferb movie, they started a movie like halfway through the story.
Uh-huh.
And then they jump back to the beginning of the story. Then they get to that point, then it goes from there.
Yeah.
So I explained that they had to do that as Phineas and Ferb to explain.
Yeah.
Well,
they've done it on Pulp Fiction and... the monkeys movie called Head, among other places.
Same way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was thinking, that's true. Well, of course, I explained it to a 12-year-old, so I had to use Vinny's term.
Yeah.
All things.
Are you okay, buddy?
And also, I've been coming up with ideas and things to do. I had something to perform at the MarsCon Band Showcase, and I not burned out my voice at MarsCon.
Yeah.
The third time in 4 years screaming... while Shoebox is on stage.
I hope the mic is picking you up. We're actually in the other room, so we can't see the screen.
Oh.
But we should probably let you go and move on to our thingy thing.
Okay, I hope you talk about the Avengers, how awesome that movie was, or hopefully you guys do.
Well, I mentioned that I was in the vicinity of the movie and that I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's like, I figure we should probably not do any kind of a spoilery type review of Avengers, but we both enjoyed it.
We're going to probably do a somewhat spoilery review of the television show 30 Rock, though, instead.
Okay, no problem, yeah, because that was one of the first movies I've seen in a long time. I've actually seen it theater more than once.
Oh, I didn't know you've gone twice.
Yeah, actually, I saw it kind of 3D. be honest, it doesn't really add that much to it.
I believe it.
Anyway, my daughter and a fresh bruise and a fresh cut on her leg is home, so I gotta get going myself.
All right, talk to you later.
All right, take care. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You didn't see where Alex's other sock went, did you?
Not at the immediate moment, but is
that's
it?
Okay, it's not exactly like these are actually used socks that were previously owned, but still.
Maybe the kitty took it.
I think this is a parenting theme. One sock on, one sock off. Parents confirm. Confirm or deny. Is one missing one child's sock a parenting theme? Oh, you're such a good baby. You're being so good and quiet. Just checking things out.
So, shall I talk about the Kickstarter results?
Yep. And once he starts getting fussy, I'll just latch him, so...
Okay.
Make sure he's not poopy, but he pooped 3 times today, so I doubt it. I don't think he's poopy. I don't think he's poopy. So Luke's gonna talk about a thing. This is something Uncle Luke does a lot. He talks about himself.
Except not so much lately on this podcast, because mainly we talk about you.
You have plenty of time to talk about yourself on this podcast.
I'm trying to pull up.
Oh, so good natured. I guess you're just happy as long as I'm holding you, huh?
I'm trying to pull up my Twitter thing because I posted
sunglasses.
A tweet which sums up the prizes.
It's funny. It's funny how obvious he makes it when he's not interested in something. It's like he'll turn his head as far away as he can from it.
Okay, so here are the final results of the Kickstarter. The amount of money raised, via the page at Kickstarter.com, final amount was $6,355.79.
Wow.
Plus, as I said before, an in real life donation of $300 from my mom, AKA Momski.
Mm-hmm.
So you could technically say it was $6,655.79. Now, the primary reason we hit the stretch goal is due to one donor who listens to this podcast, who leaves comments under the name Number 11, who about 2 days before it was supposed to end, it was a Thursday morning, I woke up, and
at that time, you didn't look like you were going
to
hit it.
Yeah, at that point, I had kind of resigned myself to the fact that, well, it's too far away. I'm not going to hit the stretch goal. I was kind of mentally preparing myself for that. But then I woke up to discover that Number 11 had donated $2,100 to the Kickstarter, which is amazing for a couple of reasons. One, it pushed us just over the $5,500 limit to say that we hit our stretch goal.
Is that kitty supposed to be in the sink, or does it not matter?
Not really, but if I yell really loud, it'll startle the baby. So
you could go over there if it's important. If it's not important, we can just move on.
I'm gonna say it's not important right now, because at worst, she's just drinking some water.
Okay, so there's nothing sharp in there she's gonna lick.
No.
Okay.
Anyway. So, number one, it put us over the stretch goal amount by just barely over $5,500 at the time he donated that money. Which of course means that Luke SkiCon is going to happen, and the Funk Fest concert and all that niftiness. So that was,
hopefully by that time Alex will be old enough to get a little enjoyment. And there'll be so many people that will get to meet Alex then.
Yeah. So besides that fact, is also just the notion of the amount itself. $2,100, that's a huge amount of money. That's more than the entire original amount of the original Kickstarter when it was launched, which was $1,750.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third of the couple things that makes it significant is the fact that because he donated more than $1,750, that means not only am I going to be going out to where he lives to do a house concert and getting 100 cakeballs from Sarah, but I also have to
mow his lawn.
So somebody will be getting footage of the lawn mowing happening, and it will be made available to view somewhere, somehow. That's all to be determined. I don't know when.
And no matter what happens, even if it doesn't need mowing, you're going to mow it, damn it. We all want to see you mow it.
This person lives in the greater Los Angeles area, so...
Now, does he really want us to call him number 11, or does he have a name that...
He has a real name, and I know what it is. I just don't know if he wants me blabbing it on the podcast
well,
or not.
Number 11, I think you've officially joined the community and... full-fledged, so if you'd like people to know you by your real name, as we do with the majority of the community, let us know, and we'll blab.
Yes.
Because, you know, there's you know, Luke, Carrie, Ken, Bill, Jared, Sarah, you know, and then there's other people like Shoebox and Devo, but, you know, the majority of our community goes by actual names. So, let us know, otherwise we'll just call you by your number, and you can say, I am not a number, I am a free man!
So,
Oh, and I wish I could go with you.
So, basically, the terms of the agreement on the whole house concert thing says that the person who makes the donation needs to cover the travel cost for me to fly out and do the house concert. So, you know, if that person, you know, I mean, that's, someone who has $2,100 laying around to donate, you know, might also have the money to, you know, bring other performers they like from the same area, i.e. Carrie Dalby. So, Carrie has stated to me that, you know, if such a flight was provided for her as well, she would gladly also come out.
And for her infant.
And for her infant. So, you know.
But, That'd be a lot to ask. Anyways, he'll see me at Luke's GeekCon.
Yes. So, because, yes, Carrie will be performing at Luke's GeekCon.
Okay, okay, okay. Let's have a nurse. Let's have more nurses. It's okay. It's okay.
Oh, don't be scared. You get to go to California, too. We take this time out to let baby get situated before okay. before I announce the tally of prizes.
His face he makes is so funny when the boob comes out, like boob.
has he ever poked himself in the eye with your nipple?
Well, no, it's not sharp.
Well, I know it's not sharp, but I mean, has he ever been so zealous that he just like headbanged and like ah, and like, you know?
No.
Anyway.
Thankfully, we have yet to have any infant eye injuries of any kind.
So here is the tally of the prizes I need to make, or provide, or whatever. I have one lawn to mow with a house concert and 100 cake balls from Sarah. That's one. I have to create 9 songs for the special Kickstarter EP.
10.
I have to create 11 puppets, 14 caricatures, 25... bacon / t-shirts, 47 audio bits, 79 chibis, and 92 shout-outs on Bad Rapport.
Should we get the shout-outs out of the way?
No, because I don't have them prepared.
Oh.
I need to do the thing where I start sending messages back to the people asking, you know, for all the details and pictures and stuff. So one of the things I'm going to send is to ask them how specifically I want them shouted out to, like, what they want their name listed as when I do the big shout-out thing.
Maybe you can do it on the next episode when I'm not around.
That's entirely. So
entirely, yeah. So, are you going to tell your fans how much you love them and appreciate them?
Oh, yes. I thought I already had via other mediums, but I will do that here
do
as well.
Again.
I am very happy and appreciative to everybody who donated. I mean, you know, as I've said before, I thought the notion of raising $1,750 was going to be something that was going to take all month to do and, you know, make me want to pull up my hair and gnash my teeth because of how hard it is to raise the fundraiser money for MarsCon every year. So I was astonished that I got so many donations that I hit $1,750 within the first 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So then when everyone's like, make a stretch goal, I just kind of said, all right, well, I might as well shoot for the stars and see what happens. So I made, you know, me and Sarah whipped up this master list of other technology I could get that would help me out, you know, creatively or practically as it pertains to the whole comedy music career thing, etc. And, you know, and then adding in, you know, a percentage of money adding in percentages of money to cover the cost of making all these, you know, prizes and the Kickstarter fees and the credit card fees, that's how I came up with $5,500. And I'm like, all right, I'll shoot for that, but I'm probably not going to make it, you know, but we'll give it a try anyway. And then, you know, I'm just, you know, super shocked that not only did I make it, but in that last 2 days, once we hit the stretch goal, when people could have easily given up and not donated anything anymore, people continued to donate at the last minute because they wanted prizes or whatever.
They wanted to be on the LukeskiCon invite list.
Yes, they wanted to be on the LukeskiCon invite list. So, you know, we got like another $800 or so dollars on top of that, you know, plus the money my mom gave me. So it's, you know, friggin' amazing. So I'm just like, so, you know, happy and touched and I really appreciate it. And I'm going to, you know, bust my ass to make LukeskiCon super epic and awesome so that everyone who can make it out will have an awesome time and that everyone who listens to the concerts will enjoy it. So again, thank you so much. If I were any more thankful, I'd be sucking on your boob like an appreciative baby child. Loving its mother.
Or not sucking on your boob, depending on which one you prefer. Josh linked me to that one clip from Family Guy when
Stewie sucks on Peter's teat.
Yeah. And he's sucking for a few seconds, and then he suddenly stops and pulls the hair out of his mouth and just says, And the whole time that he is sucking on Peter's teat, Peter's just sitting there smiling. Yay! I have a baby on my boobie.
So, okay, so you wanted me to kind of start a discussion on all of the ideas of what may or may not happen at LukeskiCon, right?
I'm excited. I'm just gonna say it because he doesn't speak English yet. I'm excited as fuck for LukeskiCon, and I know it's probably not for a year or a year-ish from now.
It just seems like if I tried to... I have this vague idea that it would make the most sense to do it during the summer months.
So next summer, 2015.
So to try to do it, like, for this summer kind of seems like people probably already have
plans
for cons or for vacations or for whatever. So if I make it for next summer, you know, it'll leave people tons of time to, you know, save up the money or get the time off work, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
And I have an idea of how you should pick the exact date, but I'll run that by you later because it's not very interesting for the podcast.
I mean, I was initially thinking Memorial Day weekend, but then I was pointed out that there's a couple of big
conventions.
There's World Steam Expo and there's Balticon and stuff. So I want to pick it on a weekend. I want to do it on a weekend when there isn't a significant convention happening, and it'll most likely...
I mean, no matter what happens, there's going to be people on the invite list that ultimately have conflicts, but because there's just so many people.
Yeah.
But I have an idea, and I'll tell you later.
Okay. I can't remember what I was going to say. When I send off the surveys and information gathering...
Maybe we can just assume that if you hear a fart on the podcast, it's the baby.
Oh, what's up, dude?
Who had a burpee?
So, when I send off the email updates... the Kickstarter information gathering thing... I'm going to ask people, like, you know, when they think it would be best to have LukeskiCon, breaking it down by season, but I'm probably going to end up just, you know, going with, you know, summer of 2013. But I'll, you know, I want to get people's specific feedback. Like, I want them to tell me what conventions they regularly go to so I know what weekends to avoid and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, so, So, and for those of you who didn't hear the backstory, back in 1998, when I was still living in Kansas City, I'd only been touring around and performing at conventions for, you know, a few years at that point.
Here, eat a hand. Eat one of her hands. You can't eat mommy's boob past the point of it being food related. Come here. Oh. You can cut this out in post if you want. Here, eat a hand. Come on, honey.
Do you want me to hold him and burp him or something?
You like eating hands. Here's a hand. Here's a hand to eat. Yeah, you can eat your hand.
Meanwhile, Abby sits silently on the other end of the couch.
He's working on it. He's like, I think I want to eat a hand. I'm just not very good with my hands yet, so I... Yeah, but you got to keep it in by yourself. Okay, he's happy.
Anyway, back in 1998, I had this party at my house over the weekend of Labor Day weekend, and the primary reason for doing it was that I was kind of, you know, I'd been traveling around from Kansas City to all these cities across the Midwest to perform at conventions, and it just kind of dawned on me, like, you know, damn it, I want people to come to Kansas City to visit me for once. So via my my fanzine, Gnome Improvement, I began advertising something I called LukeskiCon 98, which was meant to be a play on, AlCon 98 and other things similar to that. You know, not that it was meant to be any kind of a real convention. It was just meant to be a party at my place over Labor Day weekend full of, you know, nifty fun stuff and activities that people could do.
And Bill Putt was there.
Yeah, Bill Putt.
As he'll constantly remind you.
Bill Putt was there, and Colleen Guernsey was there. Goth Bunny.
Goth Bunny.
Angelique.
She kind of disappeared from the community for a while and then reappeared.
Yeah, so, but there were, like, officially 8 attendees, I think, plus myself and my girlfriend at the time, Cassie. So, over that weekend, we did movie riffing to the movie Batman and Robin, which was fun. We went to the Rocky Horror Picture Show. We did a screening of Ray TV's 12, 13, and 14. We had a talent show. Oh, Chuck Williams was there. He's another one that was there, and I believe he won the talent show with a parody he wrote called... I think it was called Pig Out to the tune of Sell Out, or something like that. we recorded stuff for a song, which was, if you remember a few episodes back, I played that song called Gnome Productions. The chorus of everyone singing
you
Gnome Productions,
drink cup?
Drinking a...
the baby's holding a cup! It's interesting! I can't help it!
This just in on Bad Rapport. Baby holds cup. Way more interesting than anything Luke was saying.
It is.
Film at 11.
Well, it is. If I could get him to drink out of a cup, like, say, breast milk, so I could, say, leave him every now and then, that would be awesome.
So, the chorus of the Gnome Production song was recorded at LukeskiCon 98. Then we went to see a comedy sports show, which I was in. After that, there was a Luke's concert with a couple of other performing guests from the comedy sports scene. Lurleen the Trittler Court Queen and maybe somebody else, I think. Then on Sunday, I believe we had a pool party. We went to a pool in the Kansas City area that had a diving board, and that was neat. And then we finished off the weekend by listening to the Dr. Demento show on the radio. So that was what happened at LukeskiCon 98. So based on that list and just brainstorming many other ideas, this is kind of not in any specific order. But
he's chewing on a cup for the record.
First of all, as I've said before, the main crux of the weekend is going to be the Fump Fest concert, which I'm assuming will last at least 2 hours or more. I'll be performing at it. I'll be kind of the headliner, obviously. Carrie has said she will perform at it.
And a
handful of other Fump artists have expressed an interest in showing up and performing at this, but of course it all depends on...
their schedules and their money.
Yeah, exactly. So... people who have expressed an interest include Tom Smith, Devo Spice, Insane Ian, I think Shoebox of Worm Quartet may have also said he was interested. So
well, hell, you might as well get Chris Mezzalesta up here.
And yeah. That's, you know, we'll, like...
Wow.
As I said, we'll see what happens with all that.
Yeah. That's a cup.
And, what I would like to do, ideally, is to webcast the concert live, while also, maybe not on the same camera, videotaping the performance, and also definitely audio recording the performance, and if a video webcast isn't possible, then I would, you know, audio cast the concert so that, you know, people who donated to the Kickstarter who want to watch or listen live will be able to do so if that all is possible via the internet connection of wherever this happens to happen. If broadcasting it over the internet live is, you know, not an option, then we will definitely, you know, be, you know, audio recording and video recording the concert and making the audio and or video of that available to everybody who donated so that however many concert performance things happen, you know, they'll all be able to hear it all so that, you know, they can have been a part of the LuxeeCon experience after the fact and, you know, heard the whole thing. So, you know, that's the main part of this whole shebang. So, all right, other ideas. Mystery Spatula Theater 11... I'm trying to decide what the best way to do this is, but Matt has expressed an interest, and I assume Carrie's also interested.
Yep.
I don't know if we would do this as a scripted thing with a whole movie, or if we would just pick a movie and show it, and everyone can just yell out riffs, or if it would be some combination of the two.
If you have allow everyone to yell out riffs, it would be too chaotic.
Yeah.
Wow, he's really manipulating this cup. It's cool. Well, he doesn't touch objects that much.
And now he's giving it a shot.
Yeah.
He probably thinks it's weird because there's probably a cold sensation on his leg from the ice.
Well, and then he's chewing on the edge since he's teething. Oh, that's so good.
Plus, you know, the three of us have forever been wanting to get the next episode of Mystery Spatula Theater 11 filmed, which is the day after tomorrow. Normally we premiere these things at MarsCon, but, you know, we'll have to see what the timetable is for when this thing gets produced, so...
Yeah.
Perhaps something like that will be what we do for the, you know, movie riff, you know,
part of... Or we could just riff a short or something.
Yeah. We'll figure out something, you know, but it's one of many ideas, and here's some more ideas. I could put together a video presentation screening, you know, video footage of stuff I've done over the years that, you know, nobody has really ever seen. I used to make animated films when I was a kid, like 8mm. And some of them were music videos to well-known songs. So, you know, I could edit some stuff together and show that. I could show some, you know, specific individual clips and excerpts from Ray TV and from other things I've done from earlier in my career that people may find interesting. So that's something that could also be done.
You want the cup back?
And by the way, as I'm reading these things off, I'm part of the reason I'm doing it, besides filling the show with content, is to also share these ideas with all of you who did donate so that you can give me feedback as to which of these ideas you like the most, or, you know, or if you have your own ideas that you want to submit, you know, based on my ideas or not or whatever, feel free to, you know, submit them as comments to this episode.
I'm attempting to film this for Daddy to see later.
Like, filming?
Yes.
Okay.
Luke's never gonna get used to having to share the spotlight
with this guy. I'm trying to hold the phone at proper length away so that we can pick up the manipulation. That is the whole point.
You like this cup? You like this cup, dude? Wow. Nom nomming cup. BPA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can press stop. Okay. Getting frustrated with that little dude? You're like,
me?
I said little dude. I know you're short, but you're not that short that I'm going to call you little dude.
No, I thought you were asking me if I was getting frustrated with the little dude.
Oh, no, no, no. I said, are you getting frustrated with that, comma, little dude, question mark? Oh, you're all cold now from where the cup was, aren't you? That's extra cold. It's extra cold.
So, another idea is to have some form of a talent show. It could be performing your own songs. It could be doing a cover version. It could be doing a lip sync. Hey, remember lip syncing? That's something that hasn't been done for years.
Bonk.
People could do lip syncs, you know. People could do puppet shows. People could do, you know, whatever they want, you know. There's an idea. There could be a dance after the concert.
Bill would like that.
Yes, many people seem to like dances.
Bill likes hosting dances.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I want it to be a thing where people aren't... I want people to show up and partake in the stuff.
Bill's
and
on
have
the
a
invite
good time.
List, isn't he?
Yeah, he donated.
Good.
So,
just wouldn't be the same without Bill. Did Moonbeam get on the invite list?
Dan did. So
close enough.
I'm considering, you know, them a unit.
Yes. Okay.
So
good. Good. Good.
Anyway. But basically, you know, I may end up just making a pre-made playlist, you know, and just play music and people can dance to it because I don't want to force someone to be stuck behind a DJ table all night, you know.
True.
So. You know, I can use the very equipment the Kickstarter got me to create a dance-like environment for people to have fun in.
Yep.
So that's an idea, dance.
To dance.
We could record things for use in future Lukeski songs and or sketches of some kind. What that is, I have literally no idea. I'm just stealing ideas from previous LukeskiCon because that's what we did.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I can think of something that it would make sense to try to get a bunch of people to record lines for or in unison or whatever, that's something that, you know, might happen. People seem to like and enjoy, you know, things involving playing in water. So I put in my notes here, we can maybe go to Key Lime Cove to their indoor water park or another indoor water park within 30 miles of Des Plaines. I don't know how many others there
does it
are.
Have to be indoors?
I don't know. I'm kind of wanting to keep most of the stuff we do indoors because I just
don't want
to
get rained out.
Yeah, I don't want to get rained out. So
you can't get rained out of a water park.
As much as I love the idea of doing the big Lukeski, you know, Fump Fest concert in my backyard or in your backyard, as much as I love that idea, I don't want to plan on that and then it rains and then we're screwed because there's not enough room inside either of our houses to do a concert.
The majority of us are a bunch of white-ass motherfuckers anyways who prefer to stay indoors, so...
So I'm most likely going to try to find a hotel with a, you know, a big room space that I can rent out for the concert and some of the other events.
Yeah.
And then that way we can also couple that with, you know, making a room block for people to get hotel rooms at so that it can be even more like a real convention.
Yeah.
So, and Sarah even suggested having it at the Hampton Inn where we had our wedding since we've worked with them before. So, you know, but I also want to look into, hotels in this immediate area. So some of these are just random things I wrote down because I didn't want to forget them. I wrote down Great America and Gurney Mills just because they're both next to Key Lime Cove. There's Galloping Ghost Arcade, which is totally freaking awesome. This great classic... Well, it's mainly classic 80s games, but they have games, you know, from every era. But it's, you know, the whole point of the place is you show up, you pay $15, and you can play any of the 100 to 150... games they have there, you know, for free play, you know, so I'm sure that would be something awesome that people would love to, you know, do for 2 or 3 hours or something to that effect. And they also have some space there for doing various types of events, so we might want to utilize their space as well. I also mentioned on my list here Dave and Buster's and Gameworks, you know, just because those are also arcades, but you know, really, Galloping Ghost is the one we most likely all want to go to.
I mean, again, I wrote down some random things here just because they were ideas. Medieval Times, Bristol Renaissance Fair, Navy Pier. we could find a place that has karaoke, and we could all just kind of, you know, as a big giant group, go to a place that has karaoke and just kind of take it over and dominate the karaoke night.
Or we could just do karaoke at the hotel.
Well,
that way we don't have to worry about.
Yeah, but then we'd have to pay a karaoke DJ to show up.
Well, not if somebody has their own karaoke machine.
Okay, well, it's more about, does somebody have their own karaoke library, you know? Because I know I have some bit of background. Well, I have some karaoke CDs, but not really that many enough that I'd want to... I don't know. I just...
We'll figure it out. We've got a year-ish.
I made a note that, actually, I dropped a message to Jared Perez, suggesting the notion of some form of Dementia Smackdown wrestling video event, just because, you know, it seems like a cool, fun thing we could do. So he said maybe, so we'll have to just kind of wait and see how things pan out. I said we could visit the Alien Entertainment Store in Lombard, because that seems to be a place people might want to go to, even though they hate rap music. I wrote down Ed DeBevix, just because, you know, it's another thing we could do. I thought of, you know, because most...
It's brainstorming, so you've got to write down everything.
Most conventions have a dead dog party. I thought we could all go out there and eat hot dogs so that we could have an Ed's dog party.
Oh, do I have my boobs sticking out this whole time?
I don't know. I wasn't looking.
I mean, my broad boob.
Okay, other things I wrote down is going to zoos. There's the Lincoln Park Zoo. There's the Brookfield Zoo. Shedd Aquarium.
Brookfield Zoo.
Museum of Science and Industry. The Field Museum. Going to a Cubs game.
We'll probably have to have at least one event in the city, but we should probably just keep it to just one event.
Yeah. We could do some sort of boob tree event.
Absolutely, we should. We can and we should.
Which is the drawing game, for those of you who are somehow new to this. The boob tree / eat poop you cat / draw something type of game. And then...
Is that what that Facebook game is like?
I
saw an ad for that.
I think it's similar to it. I think it's meant to be a lot more simple, where they just give you, like, a word, you know, rather than a phrase. But I think there's other games that are more complex, that are more like Boob Tree on the internet.
You're such a good baby. He's just been awake the whole time, people.
And finally, the last note here is...
Not even nursing.
Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport Live.
Of course.
So,
that's kind of a given.
So yeah, we'll have to record an episode of the podcast with a live studio audience, and I'm sure there will be much, you know, hijinks that ensue that will get captured on audio, and I guess we'll have special guests based on...
It could be boring, too. You never know. It's live. That's the glory of live things.
So, that sums up all of my, you know, brainstorming list ideas of things that may or may not happen at LukeskiCon, which will most likely happen, you know, next summer, but it'll be sometime between now and December of 2013. So, those of you who donated, if you have ideas or feedback on any of this stuff, you know, leave a comment on this episode and we'll read it next week. And
we should have a costume contest.
We could do that. That's a great idea. Where's my fucking pen? I'll go get it.
Okay.
I'll write that down. I didn't even think about that. Go to badreport.com.
Or at least a costumed event of some kind.
Yeah.
Yes.
So badreport.com, and leave a comment for this episode. Giving us your feedback. You know, what ideas did you like the most, or what are your own ideas or suggestions and stuff like that. So now we're going to have another song. And then we're going to have News of the Stupid. Right? Yes.
Stupid. News of the Stupid song. This is the new News of the Stupid song. Press the goddamn stop button, Luke.
got a special house. Woke up this morning feeling super. Where's the butler? Pass me the butter. My muffins are freshly baked. Wake up, then I stretch and shake. My life, well, yes, it's great. Like I live on a slice of special cake. With loads of ingredients. If my home is my castle, that's most convenient. Yes. Because my home is a castle. And I laugh at the top of my turret. My drawbridge is over a moat filled with tea. And I'm far above it. I just love it. This life of mine. Like every day is a prize that shines. Lighting my way through the unsightly times. To the stage where I find that the mic is mine. I love it. To see the friendly faces. Few as strange as my fan bases. I love them almost paternally. I have an orangutan serving me. Is that so eccentric? Invention just means be open-ended. So if you're special but no one said it, shout with me, it's all so splendid. Splendid. Yes, indeed. It's splendid. I'm really pleased. It's splendid. Well, isn't that nice? It's splendid. So sing it twice. It's splendid. Yes, indeed. It's splendid. I'm really pleased. It's splendid. Well, isn't that nice? It's splendid. Took it out of me. Where am I again? Oh, yes, there we go. The fresh smell of a newly mowed lawn. First cup of joy on a misty morn. When you sip from a dark brew in a sharp suit watching cartoons. Your very own baby, flame-haired ladies. Lovely roast hen with Yorkshires and gravy. Or a ride where you scream for joy on a steam-powered flying machine. Or a scene from your new ambition played in the present tense. Or some sentiments sent from a loved one to end offence. Or 11 pence paid from Mama Quinn. Sitting at the bar with a glass of Pimm's. Getting what you want for your birthday. Or watching the Las Vegas mermaids. Sitting in the deck chair listening to sea. Or listening to me. Knowing that you said what you said and you meant it. Because everything is ever so splendid. Yes, indeed. It's splendid. I'm really pleased. It's splendid. Well, isn't that nice? It's splendid. So sing it twice. It's splendid. This is a brand new one. Check this out. Watch this if you can see it. Merry Christmas. This song is about a promise that I make to you. All of you. Oh my, look at all you people in this room. I've been watching you file in for an hour or two, but none of you seem to see the black and purple suited fella sitting all alone at the bar, sipping on Estella till the sound guy came to me and said, it's time. That's my cue to kick some killer rhymes. Hop onto the stage and step into the spotlight. Flip the power switch on my wireless mic. And go rapidy, 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 rapidy. Yeah, that's when it first starts happening. Now all you acting like you want a little action. See, macking on me tactlessly, all up on my patch, please. Listen, kitty, break it down and make it see-through. As I delegate some invitations to my green room. Who's it gonna be? You? 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 This is what we're gonna do. I'ma do sex to all of you. I'ma do sex to all of you. Every last one of you. I'ma do sex to all of you. I'ma do sex to everybody in this room. I'ma do sex to all of you. I'ma do sex to all of you. Every last one of you. I'ma do sex to all of you. I'ma do sex to everybody in this room. Think a moment, let this awesome promise wash across you. Just the thought of all the sex that I'ma do to you has got you hot and bothered on your bottom lips excited. All your fantasies involving me will soon be satisfied. Get it started, all your parts will start to tingle now. Oh my god, you are so psyched, nobody is singled out. I wanna put you all inside my mouth, all of you, and swallow you. When I say all of you, I mean all of you. Ladies, let's form a single file line. Maybe undress first to save a little time. Oh, and fellas, oh yeah, I'm talking to the dudes too. Guess who else I'ma do sex to? Here's a hint, you. Ooh, regardless of your weight or race or gender, I'ma do you, and that goes for you too, bartender. It's an orgy and you won't attend a bigger one this year. It's about to look like it's Caligula in here. When I do sex to all of you, when I do sex to all of you, every last one of you, when I do sex to all of you, when I do sex to everybody in this room, when I do sex to all of you, when I do sex to all of you, every last one of you, when I do sex to all of you, when I do sex to everybody in this room. it'll blow your mind. Of your reality, you'll find you were once so sweet and kind until I got you hot and naughty. I'ma do a bunch of weird stuff to your body. Oh, Lottie Dottie, baby, I'ma use the force. I'ma lock the doors, I'ma drop your drawers. Everybody gets a snake and decked Lady Godiva. Everybody's gonna wear a layer of my saliva. Going in and out of you, you're going in and out of me. Remember, nobody to each other, keep me at the center of attention. Did I mention what you'll get for free? Everybody at the party's gonna get an STD. Physical indecision and driven whim. Hedonistic debauchery in every room that I'm in. Oh, you know I'm so impulsive, I just roll with the flow. In fact, never mind, I changed my mind. Tonight I'm going home. Peace, I'ma do sex to none of you. I'ma do sex to none of you. Not a single one of you. I'ma do sex to none of you. I'ma do sex to nobody in this room. I'ma do sex to none of you. I'ma do sex to none of you. Well, maybe just one of you. I'ma do sex to none of you. I'ma do sex to nobody in this room. Thank you.
And now it's time for...
By Devo Spice, visit devospice.com. Reported by the internet from all over the world, and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid to prove an innocent, cause it makes it so to me that you incriminate.
This story sent in by Kyle Hudson. Organizers for the 2012 Olympic Games in London want to book some big name legendary British rock stars for their opening ceremonies, like The Who. So, games officials set about their task by trying to book legendary Who drummer Keith Moon. They contacted Keith Moon's manager about the potential booking. Moon's manager informed them of a slight snag in booking him due to the fact that he's been dead for 34 years. If they have a round table, some glasses, and candles, we might contact him, the band's manager Bill Krabishley told the Sunday Times. They should see if that John Lennon guy is available too.
Police in southwest Idaho say a man chose briefs over boxers to wear on his head as he held up a coffee shop and stole a safe. Coffee shop owner Jason Wilson tells the Idaho Statesman that he believes the man was likely not prepared when he entered Big Star Coffee in Fruitland with an accomplice on Tuesday morning. Wilson asked, "Who robbed something with underwear on their head?" Investigators say the two burglars made off with about $500 in cash that was inside the safe. Their actions were captured on surveillance cameras inside and outside the shop. Looks like the underwear bandit made a clean getaway with their escape vehicle leaving no skid marks.
This story also sent in by Kyle Hudson. Lauren Steptola, 49, of Utica, New York, allegedly tried to rob three banks unsuccessfully using a toilet plunger. Deptola, plunger in hand, entered the branch and started screaming obscenities, demanding that bank employees put money in a bag, threatening tellers with the suction stick. Cops arrived on the scene at a key bank location after receiving calls from two other banks, which Deptola also allegedly demanded money from. Authorities arrested Deptola after a foot chase and charged him with attempted third-degree robbery. Now he's caught in a grease trap and will be a drain on our economy.
And now he shuts off. So you know how I try to end most of these stories with a dumb pun joke? Well, thankfully, the authorities involved here did that work for me already. In Seattle, a car prowler shattered a window of a parked Jeep, stole nothing, and left behind a little something for the car's owner, a dozen tortillas scattered across the floor. The crime happened last week near the University of Washington. Bemused by the break-in, police commented, "The Seattle Police Department would like to take this opportunity to remind car prowlers that you shouldn't break into something that's nachos."
People are stupid, and once again, they have proven it.
Well, it's the yeast they could do.
This has been News of the Stupid.
You have recently gotten into the television program known as 30 Rock.
Yes, I have.
So why don't you tell people what you think of that show?
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the show, in case you don't know about it. It stars Tina Fey, who you may know from Saturday Night Live. She plays Sarah Palin. She played a number of characters when she was on Saturday Night.
And she was also one of the Weekend Update anchors for news.
And I'm assuming she was probably one of the writers at some point.
She was the head writer.
Yes, she was the head writer on SNL because she's a funny lady. But she decided she had an idea for a show, so she pitched it to Lorne Michaels. And I think she ended up waiting a year to actually do the idea because of her pregnancy. But the show would star Alec Baldwin. This was before they even talked to Alec Baldwin about it. And so even though she stopped doing Saturday Night Live, she started a sitcom that is loosely based on Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. And the reason it's called 30 Rock is because the address of the building where they do Saturday Night Live and all the other NBC shows in New York City is 30 Rockefeller Plaza. So that's why it's called 30 Rock. I always wondered back when I used to hear about the name of the show because I'd get it confused with Third Rock from the Sun. I always wondered why it was called 30 Rock, but obviously I know now. So Alec Baldwin, who in real life is a super lefty left-wing, you know, activist guy that gets made fun of on Fox News or whatever, in the television show, he plays Jack Donaghy, a super right-wingy right guy who is the head of television programming and microwave ovens at NBC/GE. And that is... it's not, you know, a code name. That's actually what they call it on the television show. Tina Fey is the head writer of a show called TGS, which is very like SNL.
That was that. Like, if I could ask Tina Fey one question, that would be it. Because TGS, in the context of the show, is called The Girly Show.
Right.
So apparently, The Girly Show was a sketch comedy show that whose ratings weren't doing that good, and then as a stunt, they hire Tracy Jordan, who is played by Tracy Morgan,
yes,
basically playing kind of a caricaturized version of himself, probably also kind of mixed with Eddie Murphy from the 80s, back when he was huge and doing a lot of crazy things, you know. So, but the whole thing with, you know, that I want to know both the fictional world reason and the real world reason of why that show was called The Girly Show, you know.
Well, at the time, on the first episode of 30 Rock, The Girly Show is starring the character Jenna Maroney, whose actress name I can't recall off the top of my head.
Jane Krakowski.
But Jenna Maroney is the star of and center of The Girly Show, and... you know, then Tracy Jordan comes in and kind of ruins everything, and that's when they turn it to initials so that they don't technically change the name of the show, but they basically change the name of the show called TGS starring Tracy Jordan. I keep trying to make sure I say the right Tracy.
Yeah. So, although they did do a funny gag recently where Jordan is locked in his hotel room and somebody's commenting that, like, he's losing his mind, and you hear him shout from the other room, "My name isn't Tracy Jordan! This is all a TV show and my real name is Tracy Morgan!"
Yeah.
And they just kind of roll their eyes at how crazy he's acting.
Yep.
But like, the fact that, you know, at some point, you know, I'm assuming Tina had to make a decision on what to call the show, and she called it The Girly Show. So I want to know, like, the real world version of why she picked that name. You know, was it based on anything that happened at SNL? Because when she was the head writer, it became this beginning of this era where there was a lot of female-dominated characters and sketches and stuff between Tina Fey and Anna Gasteyer and Maya Rudolph and Amy Poehler and Rachel Dratch. It was like this era of women finally being, you know, a force to be reckoned with on Saturday Night Live. So it kind of makes me wonder, did some, you know, pain in the ass male dick, you know, guy giving notes to the network refer to Saturday Night Live as The Girly Show?
Yeah.
And then to get back at that guy for being a dick, she named it that on her sitcom or something. Right. I mean, it just, that name just sticks in my head. Like, there has to be a story behind that.
But back to the premise of 30 Rock.
Yeah.
I did not actually mention Tina Fey's character name is Liz Lemon. And so Liz Lemon, I think, is a character probably largely based on, you know, Tina Fey's earlier life, where she has, you know, bad luck with men and very neurotic and, you know, lives in an apartment in New York City and very left-wingy person. And Jack Donaghy's the right-wing person who a few episodes into the series decides he wants to be her mentor. And over the course of 6 seasons, they become best friends, you know, unlikely best friends. So there's them, there's crazy, wacky, off-the-wall Tracy Jordan, and I'm getting through the main characters. Jenna Maroney is a blonde woman in her 40s who would like everyone to think she's in her 20s, who's very, very narcissistic and turns out to be very, very, very strange sexually, as you find out, you know, the more you get to know the character. And to top them all off, probably the most beloved character, I would guess, is the page, Kenneth. He's a very innocent, blonde, white guy from Georgia who has moved to New York City to do his dream job of running errands as a page at NBC. And don't have any examples for you for why he's awesome, but he's awesome. He's often my favorite character on the show. Although sometimes it's hard to pick a favorite character because all 5 main characters are so freaking hilarious and awesome. Passing the buck over to you so I can start eating so that I can make sure my blood sugar doesn't crash.
Well, there's some other supporting characters that are noteworthy. But before I get into them, I wanted to mention that Kenneth Parnell, or wait a minute.
Kenneth Parcell.
Kenneth Parcell, played by Jack McBrayer. Jack McBrayer was a kind of bit player on Late Night with Conan O'Brien in New York.
Yeah, I found that out only recently, that there was a character that he played that was a page on NBC that he played on Conan O'Brien's show.
Yeah, and he played a lot of other really weird, bizarre characters. That's why during that documentary about Conan, when Kenneth shows up, Conan just acts like a total dick to him and is like, come on, dance, you stupid freaking southern hick. And then it's like they just did this whole bit where, you know, where Jack was pretending to be berated, you know, and completely belittled and humiliated by Conan O'Brien. So, yeah. Where is he? Come on.
What are you looking for?
I'm looking for the character that Judah Friedlander plays. Oh, there it is. Frank Rossitano is one of the writers of the show, and he's played by a comedian named Judah Friedlander. And the character is largely based on Judah Friedlander's stand-up comedy act, because he basically looks like exactly how he looks when he does his stand-up comedy act. His signature thing...
Is that the guy with the hat?
Yeah, he wears these trucker hats that, like, have different phrases. Like virtually every scene you see him in, whatever trucker hat he's wearing has a different phrase on it that isn't necessarily meant to be funny in and of itself. You know, sometimes it is a joke, but sometimes it's just a weird phrase. But, he's one of the writers on the staff at TGS. There's Pete Hornberger, who is kind of Liz's... he's one of the producers of TGS, and he kind of has to,
he's bald.
Yeah, he's bald. he often is kind of the butt of a lot of jokes about how supposedly pathetic his life is.
At any given time, there's really only 3 actor characters on the show. It's Tracy, Jenna, and depending on which seasons you're watching, Josh or, what's the new guy? Can't remember his character name.
Yeah, I forgot.
But there's another actor that comes in the more recent seasons. And, I got food in my mouth. the writers and the writing room take precedence in on 30 Rock over the actor over the actors, except for Tracy and Jenna. Tracy and Jenna are huge, but there's a lot more writer characters on 30 Rock. There's the black guy from Harvard who goes
Twofer.
By Twofer.
There's Lutz, who's always getting, you know, picked on and crapped on.
Yeah. There's always, like, the random chick who doesn't talk much.
What, Rachel Dratch, or?
No.
You mean that newer one?
The one who, you know, she's, like, foreign, and she rarely has lines.
Yeah, she's relatively new on the show, but it...
Well, she's not that new. She's been in the background for a long time before they started to give her occasional lines.
Yeah.
But
I wanted to mention Parnell as Dr. Leo Spaceman, which has one of the best, like, character origins is... Tracy was freaking out over something medical, like maybe he took the wrong pills. I can't remember exactly what, but,
Sorry, could you pause it? I got a, voicemail from my landlord. I should make sure. Oh, sorry, I forgot. You have to go all the way in the other room to pause it. I'm sorry, I missed a call. Life happens while you're recording podcasts.
All right, I'm pausing it right now.
So, what about 30 Rock do you like?
Well, we should maybe mention a few more characters. They have, you know, starting in season 2, they have about 10 zillion guest stars of all kinds of famous origins. On a recent live show, there was even Paul McCartney as himself. Matt Damon does a recurring guest character. She has all kinds of different recurring guest boyfriend characters. The doctor character's fairly hilarious.
Well, that's what I was saying before we were interrupted.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, Dr. Leo Spaceman, played by Chris Parnell.
And it's spelled Spaceman, which is why Tracy calls him Dr. Spaceman.
Yes.
And, yes, he kind of brings it home that, you know, this is a hilarious comedy that could never, none of these things could ever take place in real life.
Yeah.
Just like, you can't, like, get lost in the, you know, oh, maybe this could actually happen when Spaceman comes in. It's totally comedy.
And then there's Tracy's entourage made up of Grizz and .com.
Yeah. Yes. Grizzin.com. Originally, in the first couple episodes, he has a bigger entourage, but they whittle it down to Grizzin.com.
Jack used to have an assistant named Jonathan.
Up until very recently.
The reason why he's not on the show anymore is because he's on that new sitcom called Whitney, which films in Los Angeles. So
cool.
That's why Jonathan was suddenly no longer on the show.
Cool. Yeah, he was very... worshipful of Jack.
They had Rachel Dratch on playing, like,
didn't she play all kinds of characters?
Yeah. It's, I'm reading,
Cat Wrangler.
I'm reading on Wikipedia here. Rachel Dratch, Faye's longtime comedy partner and fellow SNL alumnus, was originally cast to play Jenna. Dratch played the role in the show's original pilot, but in August 2006, Jane Krakowski was announced as Dratch's replacement, with Dratch remaining involved in the show playing various characters. Faye explained the change by noting that Dratch was better suited to playing a variety of eccentric side characters, and that the role of Jenna was more of a straight-ahead acting part.
A notable ex-boyfriend... There's several ex-boyfriend characters of Liz Lemon's, but probably the most notable is Dennis, the Beeper King, who
That's is, one played by...
I don't know the actor's name.
Will Arnett, I believe, plays him, and he's...
Will Arnett is a different one.
Oh, okay.
No, Will Arnett is the gay... guy that's always Jack.
You're right. I'm sorry. But yeah.
No, I'm not sure who the actor is, but Dennis the Beeper King is this, like, Brooklyn type guy who's like totally all these like hilariously stupid male stereotypes, and just keeps kind of reappearing in
one of my
Liz's
favorites.
Life.
One of my favorite times was right about the time Liz is yet again going to give him a chance and, you know, try to commit to having a relationship with him. She sees him on Dateline's To Catch a Predator, like showing up where some little kid was supposed to be, like holding balloons, and then there's Chris Matthews there giving him shit.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, that was funny. One of probably my favorite character that isn't one of the five regulars, or well, isn't in any stretch of the imagination a totally regular, steady character, is the character of Paul, Jenna's current fiancé.
Yes, played by Will Forte.
Yeah, Will Forte, also known as the Kung Pao guy, right?
No.
No? That's not the Kung Pao guy?
No, I don't think so. I haven't seen Kung Pao, but I think...
I swear to God, that's the Kung Pao guy.
I don't think he's the lead actor of Kung Pao. I'd be surprised if he was.
Okay.
Will Forte was a cast member on Saturday Night Live for several years, and also recently has been showing up on Conan O'Brien playing Ted Turner, but his most well-known role probably to date is that of MacGruber, which got made into its own feature film.
Yeah, I think I probably got confused with MacGruber and the Kung Pao guy.
Okay. So, yeah. But yeah, that character is really awesome, too.
Yes, yeah. The reason Jenna and Paul meet is because Paul is a Jenna Maroney female impersonator drag queen doing an act where he pretends to be Jenna Maroney, and you know, this is how they come together, where he's constantly in drag through the majority of their relationship, often dressed as Jenna, and they have just the most hilariously deviant sexual practices together. I think just the funniest thing about 30 Rock is that they just, nothing's taboo. They will make a joke about anything and everything, and you know, they don't care how offensive or just plain wrong it sounds. They'll just go for it. So it's fun watching with Josh, because he'll do his really loud like scream laugh that he does when something's both hilarious and offensive. You talk about 30 Rock for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, I've been watching it since the show began, because I was a huge Tina Fey fan, so I've kind of hung with it this whole time, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, during the middle of the past season, suddenly, Carrie got really into it after a trip to Arizona, so you
after, you know, having a baby and being kind of trapped on a couch for a long time.
Yeah, so you kind of, you know, booked through the entire series pretty quickly, and then you started rewatching it again.
I've only rewatched the first few episodes at this point. I kind of stopped doing that, but I'll probably get back to it at some point, because it's just one of the funniest shows I've ever seen, and it bothers me to learn that they're only guaranteed for 13 more episodes, so they're not even guaranteed for.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not sure what the hell is going on at NBC. I don't understand. Basically, I think reality television is ruining it, because now that it's like the economy's in the shitter, and reality television is like super cheap, so they don't want to invest money in sitcoms that are going to last, you know, a really long time. You know, meanwhile, look at Fox, where, you know, they're, you know, still doing The Simpsons after 25 years, and Family Guy after however many it is now, like 9 or 10 seasons. I mean,
yeah,
you know, it's like, you know,
But I'm sure those have way better ratings than, like, 30 Rock.
Well, that's the thing that I don't understand how... I don't know. It just seems, comparatively speaking, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's just my narrow worldview. But to my point of view, 30 Rock, Parks and Rec, Community, and The Office, you know, are all really good shows. It's a solid Thursday night comedy block lineup. I don't understand why NBC can't just continue these shows and leave well enough alone, you know, but now they're going to, they only renewed Community for 13 episodes, so they're probably going to do another half season shank on them. Plus, they moved Community to Friday nights and paired it up with Whitney, which I'll admit, I watch Whitney, but it is not anywhere near as good as those other shows. It's like, I'm kind of watching Whitney in the hopes that at some point things vastly improve, because there's...
I've never even heard of Whitney.
Whitney, Whitney is a regular style sitcom starring comedian Whitney Cummings, and I think my favorite thing about her is about that show is Whitney's boyfriend on that show. I think he's a really funny comic actor, and the dude who played Jack Donaghy's assistant, that's the sitcom he's on now. So it's like,
right? Oh, you know, well, okay.
So it's like,
I never heard of it until 10 minutes ago when you first mentioned.
Well, apparently, if you lived in the Los Angeles area, you couldn't escape it, because leading up to the show's premiere, there was advertising like literally everywhere in Los Angeles on billboards, or just you could not escape the hyping for Whitney. They're basically trying to make her out to be the next Roseanne or something like that, huh. And you know. It didn't quite pan out that way, but she did get a second season. Mm-hmm. But I just don't think it works well up against those other four shows. So to move Community, it's like it's what they did to Chuck. They moved Chuck to Friday night and gave it 13 episodes to finish the series. That's what they're doing to Community, and they also fired Dan Harmon, the guy who created the show. You know,
and now that's what they're doing to 30 Rock, essentially, except for the
yeah.
I don't know what night it's... Well, yeah, I know what night it's on. It's on Thursdays. Cause...
So, yeah, so 30 Rock's only getting 13 episodes. Originally, they were only going to give 13 to Parks and Recreation, but they decided to give it the full 22-episode season, which leads us to believe that they actually have faith in keeping Parks and Recreation around for a few more years, hopefully, which I hope they do, because it's a really good show. But
as far as 30 Rock goes, you guys should all... do what I did and watch, you know, catch up with it on Netflix if you haven't been watching it already, so that you can watch the next season whenever it starts in, you know,
January.
And, you know, hopefully they will give it a little more life, because there's so many, like, little subplots going on right now. I don't see how they can possibly wrap it up in 13, 20-minute episodes, you know.
Yeah, the last episode of this season was very much a setup for what's going to happen next season on the show.
Well, yeah, the name of the episode is "What Will Happen to the Gang Next Year."
So there's a couple things that I'm assuming you don't know about. 3 or 4 years ago, somebody, and I think they were, you know, they were doing this lovingly, and they were, you know, kind of like, poking fun at the show. You know, they weren't trying to, like, literally accuse them of being plagiarists. But somebody wrote this big article online that 30 Rock is just a ripoff of The Muppet Show. And they basically drew comparisons to, like, oh, you know, Liz Lemon, Kermit the Frog, the person who's in charge of a crazy variety show who constantly has to deal with the stress of all of these other people going crazy and then has to solve all these problems. And it's like, oh... Miss Piggy, Jenna Maroney, you know, total diva. Everything has to be about her and revolve around her. And you know, Kermit slash Liz constantly has to be there to, you know, placate her to keep her happy. You know, Tracy Jordan, Gonzo the Great, this completely crazy berserker dude who does stupid, crazy stuff that's always, you know, causing damage or trouble or whatever, and just basically went through all the characters in the show and, like, drew a comparison to The Muppet Show, and, you know, they were kidding.
Which one is Jack?
Oh, I forgot. They might have said that Jack was, Kermit's, Scooter's uncle owned the theater in mm-hmm. some of those seasons of The Muppet Show, so I think they might have said that was the Jack Donaghy role, was like the guy who shows up and says, you gotta get the ratings up or I'm gonna tear this place down or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was kind of a funny article. I want to see if I can find something else online here to show. Yes. I'm now showing carry something on my phone, assuming that YouTube loads it up.
comes down a little.
The rocks are late! I need 30 rocks for the rock sketch. Where are they?
Lemon! Looking for a Liz Lemon here!
Yeah, right over here.
Anybody by the name of Lemon?
That would be me.
Oh, hey, yeah. I got a delivery
yes,
for you.
Yes, yes, do you have the 30 rocks?
Do these look like marshmallows? Those are some special rocks, by the way. Come all the way from Rockville Center.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, well, gotta go rock around the clock. See you later.
Thank you.
Lemon.
Yes, Jack.
Did the 30 rocks show up for the rock sketch?
Yes, Jack.
Where are they?
Well, Jack, they're right in front of you.
Oh, I knew that. You think I thought those were marshmallows?
No.
I'll be in my office. Wait a minute. How do you know there are 30 rocks here?
Well, that's what I ordered.
But do you know how many rocks are here? I mean, there could be 50 or 100 or 3.
Well, we can find out, Jack.
How? We can...
Grr.
Well, anyway.
So this is an official Sesame Street.
Yes, this is an actual Sesame Street sketch they did called 30 Rocks.
That's fucking awesome.
I'll call the boys.
All right, I'll stop it just because... And I'll edit this part out. But anyway, I just showed Carrie an actual Sesame Street sketch they did called 30 Rocks, in which a lemon named Liz Lemon has to count up 30 rocks that she ordered for her rock sketch,
mm-hmm.
along with Jack the Boss. A very
awesome.
A very Alec Baldwin-y looking puppet. And even though it wasn't officially Muppets, as far as I know, they have on occasion as a joke shown cast members of 30 Rock in like Muppet form. Usually when they're like looking at the world through the eyes of Kenneth to see what Kenneth sees.
Yeah.
And then like everything's all happy and, you know, smiley and stuff.
A couple things that should be noted about 30 Rock in our discussions are definitely the two live shows they have done.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to think they might do another one because literally my dad's brothers quit the job as general manager of the Mall of America in Bloomington and is now doing some big wig, you know, executive type job at NBC. So, you know, it would be really neat if my uncle got me a ticket or somehow to go see the live 30 Rock, but, you know, that would involve them, you know, actually doing another one, which if they only have 13 episodes, they're probably not going to plan on doing another live one. But their first live episode was really well done. Since they usually do cutaways of, like, past scenes of Liz Lemon's life, you know, for just a quick, you know, moment, and then they go back to the present. To do those scenes live, they had, I hope I get her name right, Julia Louise Dreyfus, best known for her character on Seinfeld. They had her playing Liz Lemon in all of the past cutaway scenes, which was brilliant and awesome. In the very recent second live episode, the person doing that was
Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler, which was less awesome because for some reason she didn't wear a brown wig and just had a regular blonde hair.
I mean, she was supposed to be playing Liz Lemon as like a kid or a teenager.
Yeah, kinds of Liz Lemon as a kid or a teenager, yeah. And she's always had brown hair in all of them. Yeah. So, you know, yeah, she should have had a wig or had her hair sprayed brown or something. The live shows were extraordinarily hilarious and well done. Like, if you really don't have time to catch up on the series, you really should just go back and watch the live shows.
My favorite part of the most recent one was the they kind of made live television the theme of the episode, and they kept flashing back to supposed past live shows done.
Yeah, fake on live NBC. Shows.
And one of them was an Amos and Andy type of show with Tracy Jordan and an actor John Hamm from Mad Men playing supposedly a
black guy.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be like,
even
you know,
he's white,
like two
white.
Black, or you know, two black characters are supposed to be the stars of the show, but it's Tracy Jordan and a white guy wearing like overalls with just some like dirt smeared on his face, and like, you know, acting all, you know, really stupid and cliche and ignorant and
And then
Tracy Jordan is like the intelligent, you know, black actor trying to plead with this guy to not act so stupid. And then the final scene is just the two of them staring at each other in silence. And then John Hamm just says, "Banjo!" And then Tracy lunges at him to choke him out. It's freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway.
Yes, that was the...
You are manipulating a baby.
Yes. I will put him on a boob. Would you like a boob? But another notable thing, you know, that I should mention, for reasons that may be obvious to most of you, is there was a special Leap Day show in season 6, mm-hmm. where they made up a whole fake holiday for Leap Day, including a, you know, revolving around a guy named Leap Day William, and... everybody wears yellow and blue, and they have, you know, a parade and all these ridiculous traditions that, you know, and Liz Lemon is kind of like, I've never heard of any of this. I guess they didn't have it in where I grew up in Pennsylvania, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, since my baby happened to be born on Leap Day, you know, I think future Leap Day William costume or themed parties would be extremely appropriate, so... that's another one, like, if you're, you know, a good friend of mine, you know, and or live in the area, you know, even if you don't plan on going to watch all of past 30 Rock, you should definitely watch the Leap Day episode.
Plus, Jim Carrey makes an awesome cameo in that as well.
Yes.
As
Leap Day William.
Did you notice that when, in the recent episode when Jack's wife is, got rescued and came back, and then Jack throws her a party to celebrate all of the holidays she missed over the past year. And so there's, like, tons of people in various types of holiday-related costumes. There was a guy dressed as Leap Day William at the party, so it was like...
The only reason I saw that is because Josh was watching with me and pointed it out, and we went back and rewound it so I could see, oh, there's Leap Day William walking by. Yeah.
So, yeah. So anyway, the overall point is, we really like 30 Rock, and if you haven't been watching it, you should watch it on DVD or Netflix or Hulu, or whatever is the most convenient method for which you watch shows.
And even if you can't go back and watch all of them, you should go back and watch some of them. So...
Oh, here's something. Do you remember, there was a... Tracy Jordan did a Halloween song... That was called, like, the Werewolf Bar Mitzvah or something like that.
Mm.
They claimed that he did a novelty song that was a hit.
Yeah. There was a section of, like, season 2 where I barely watched the episodes because I was so preoccupied with the baby. Mm. So that might have been one of those episodes where I really need to go back and watch it again.
Well, I do remember, like, about the time that episode came out, that song made... The Dr. Demento, either Funny Five or Top Ten, whatever it was at the time.
Oh, awesome.
And then Weird Al appeared on the show recently, we should also point out.
Yes, he did.
And sang,
it was very awesome.
Yes, he sang over the credits his own version of the 30 Rock theme song.
Yes.
So.
You need to watch the episode with Weird Al in it for sure.
Yes. All right, well, we will have another break here, and then we'll have a song and come back with the end of the show stuff.
Live show, it's 30 Rock live show, it's 30 Rock live. I'll insert some lyrics here, cause they'd be really appropriate. Live show, it's 30 Rock live show, it's 30 Rock live.
Look at this, my gold record from that novelty party song.
Aw, man, Trey, look up at the sky. It's a full moon on the Sabbath.
This is scary.
Break it down.
I was working
late on my half Torah. When I heard a knock on my bedroom door, I opened it up, and to my surprise, there was a werewolf standing there with glowing gold eyes. He says, "Tomorrow, my son, you will be a man. But tonight's the time to join the Wolfen Clan. Tomorrow you will stand at the beamer and pray. But tonight, let's gaze at the moon and bathe. Werewolf bar mitzvah, spooky, scary. Wolves becoming men, men becoming wolf. Werewolf bar mitzvah, spooky, scary. Wolves becoming men, men becoming wolves."
All right, that was great, Trey. Okay, it's over. That's a wrap.
The next day, what happened? The Toma didn't teach. Got up in front of everyone to give my little speech. I shed my teeth, turned into fangs, and my nails into claws. And I nearly dropped the Torah when my hands turned into paws. I growled and I roared, and my rabbi did as well. It was a rocking werewolf zoo at Temple Beth Emmanuel.
Hey, man, where'd you learn all these Jewish words?
My manager, Harvey Lemmings. Werewolf bar mitzvah, spooky, scary. Boys becoming men, men becoming wolves.
I just don't think the idea of the song can sustain itself for that long. It seems a little sweaty now, so.
This whole premise is sweaty. We had a reception at the Larchmont Country Club. They served a real nice brisket and an 8-foot party sub. I danced with my cousins. I got money from my folks. We had a lot of fun making circumcision jokes. Then I remembered the premise of my song. I was at a nice reception, but the werewolf part was gone. So we pulled ourselves together, and we're wolfmen again. Just in time for monster fight to begin. No. All the country club employees were brain-sucking packed. We had all turned into zombies and were on the attack. So we fought them and some Draculas and Frankensteins, too. Cause you gotta love bar mitzvah even if you're not a...
There's no such thing as
werewolf bar mitzvah. Spooky, scary.
No plural.
Boys becoming men. Men becoming wolves. Werewolf bar mitzvah. Kooky, hairy. Boys becoming men. Men becoming wolves. I don't want this. I don't like this. This is scary. Turning into werewolves and stuff. You know?
I don't know, Trey. I'm not feeling it. This ain't no dick in a box. Mazel tov.
Actually, Mr. Spurlock, NBC had the first two black characters on TV. Sort of. For Alfie and Abner, NBC hired one African-American and one Caucasian because they thought two black people on the same show would make the audience nervous. A rule NBC still uses today.
Abner, I'm home from work. Where are you, my brother?
Here I am, Alfie!
I'm not doing this.
NBC received a lot of complaints that their show wasn't on often enough. So they forced Theodore Freeman to honor his contract.
I've done stole this catfish!
Sir, I'm asking you as a human being to please stop talking like that.
I was gonna eat it until I'm belly full.
This is debasing to the both of us. I was a Tuskegee Airman.
Zippity goo goo.
You may anger me, but I believe nonviolence is the path to change.
And I believe you can catch a rainbow in your hat.
I'll kill you, you ignorant crook.
Believe it or not, they did not stop doing the show, which made for tense but thrilling live TV.
Is over, so now you can talk trash about it and vent your rage on your Twitter and Facebook page. Won't you join us again next week at 30 Rockefeller Plaza, NYC, where the ratings are awesome. Remarkably, somehow, we're still on the air. We'll just keep doing this whether you like it or not. We really do love our fans, yes, both of you.
What's food?
What's at the Fump?
Oh, what's at that Fump?
Dr. Spaceman! So, here, you can read things.
Right now at the Fump, you can download for free Money Dollar Bills by Lemon Demon, Sweepstakes by TV's Kyle featuring Dark NES, I Wanna See Your Cans by The Boobles, So Weird by Steve Goody, The Funniest Guy in the Office by The Chris Waffle Experience, I Noticed You Noticing Me by Scooter Picnic, They Said I Was Mad by Consortium of Genius, Ultimate Epic Video Game Medley Third Strike Revenge of the Return of the Rise of the Remake of the New Challengers by Insane Ian.
All right. So, yeah, other things to plug now. The Logan Awards. We are taking suggestions for nominations right now over at loganawards.com, LoganAwards.com. So the nomination form is loganawards.com/nomination-form. But you can just go to loganawards.com and find the link there pretty easily. Right now, I believe, yeah, my Skeksis Back video is nominated for video. I'd also like to point out that any of the videos from my Bad Rapport episode 2, you know, like Flat 29 is the flat for me, etc., you know, I think those qualify for nomination.
Did anybody nominate Sneaking Snacks into the Cinema?
Yes, in the original songs category, the song by Flat 29, the great Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby, Sneaking Snacks into the Cinema, is indeed already nominated. The only other original song of mine that would qualify is Smeghead. So if somebody felt like, you know, nominating that, they could, although I could understand certainly why people wouldn't, because it's such an obscure topic to do a song about. And then in the parody category, my song Snoopy the Dog is nominated.
Yay!
You know, which is awesome. I was kind of, you know,
I dubbed thee the winner.
I'm surprised nobody has nominated Walking Silly, because I was under the impression that people really liked that song a lot, so I'm not sure why nobody's nominated it.
People suddenly forgot it exists.
Yes, so if you really liked Walking Silly, that's a song you could go nominate in the parody category at loganawards.com/nomination-form. Yeah. Carrie Dalby's three songs from last year are all nominated,
yay,
so there's no need to mention that she exists. And she elbows me while also holding a baby. Is he sleeping or nursing?
Yes.
Hey, Jared Perez, a.k.a. Mr. Tuesday, made an awesome fan video for the song The Ballad of Optimus Prime.
Oh, really?
Yes, he did. So you can go see that at blip.tv/mr-tuesday. blip.tv/mr-tuesday to see The Ballad of Optimus Prime made by Jared Perez. Jared has already made another video, which is being kept under wraps until Deep South Con, where it will premiere there, and then people can see it.
Well, I'm not going, so you'll have to tell me what it is off the air.
Okay. Or I could just show you the preliminary version of it. Okay. So, because it's pretty much done at this point. I can't remember if this specifically got mentioned last time, so I'll mention it again. The Fumpcast episode number 100 happened recently. If you would like to hear that episode and the nifty Best of Clips retrospective at the end of it, you can go to thefump.com/podcast.php, or, you know, just go to thefump.com and click on the... What?
Happy. She's, like, totally, like, scared and jumpy at the diaper changing pad. Like, the diaper changing pad is going to, you know, reach out and eat her.
So, what was I saying? Yeah. Things. Stuff. TheFump.com. Go to the Fumpcast. You can hear episode 100 and all the other episodes, should you be interested. Lukeski.com has a store where you can get Bad Rapport, Best of 2011, CD, or MP3. So you can spend money on that if you want to. Artbylukeski.com. Yes. I am available to draw caricatures at parties in the greater tri-state area around Illinois and Wisconsin and Indiana. So, you know,
If you want to hire me for a party, you can. I also do characters individually. You can find out all about that at artbylukeski.com. There's the Dr. Demento Show, which continues to be awesome. That's at drdemento.com. You could also go to Dr. Demento's request page and request songs like Pregnancy is Strange by Carrie Dalby. You should do that right now.
Okay.
Is your kitty cat behind me? It's in the window. Okay. Tour dates. DuckCon is coming up pretty quick here, duckcon.org. It's in St. Charles, Illinois, which is a far west Chicago suburb. It's about a 50-minute drive from my house, so I'm only going to be going out there for one day, which is Sunday, June 3rd. So I'll be doing a show at noon on their main stage.
What the hell suburb is it in? I wasn't listening.
St. Charles, Illinois.
It's fucked.
It's way the hell out there. So yeah, like I said, I'm only going out there for one day to do my show, which is on Sunday at noon. Yes. So,
I will be in Arizona by then, so.
Yep. Deep South Con, the website is dsc50huntsville.com, dsc50huntsville.com. In Huntsville, Alabama, June 15th through 17th. Let's see if Luke can remember all the people who are going to be there. Besides Dr. Demento as their special media guest of honor doing presentations, there will be The Great Luke Ski, Devo Spice, Worm Quartet, Power Salad, Cirque du So What, Nuclear Bubble Wrap, Steve Goody, Carla Ulbrich, The Boobles, Danny Burt, and in a non-performing appearance, Rob Balder. So if you wanted to make it out to that awesome place where the second annual Logan Awards for Excellence in Comedy Music are going to be held, emceed by Dr. Demento himself, please come on out to Deep South Con.
Sigh.
DSC50Huntsville.com, Huntsville, Alabama, June 15th through 17th. Kitties, do not get to eat pizza crusts.
No, you don't.
So, yeah, next convention is Convergence. Yes, I am returning to Convergence. Website is convergence-con.org. That's in the Twin Cities, more specifically Bloomington, Minnesota, July 5th through 8th, 2012.
Same suburb MarsCon is in.
Yep, I'll be performing at 7 p.m. in Harmonic Convergence with possible Oscar following me at 8:30 p.m. And we'll each be kind of crossing over into each other's shows doing appearances, so you won't want to miss that. So, Convergence. Convergence-con.org, Twin Cities, Minnesota, July 5th through 8th. Gen Con Indy, gencon.com. It's in Indianapolis, Indiana, August 16th through 19th. I have three events I'm performing at there, so go to the tour dates page of lukeski.com to get the ticket event numbers so that you can get your tickets in advance via the website, because that's how they do things there. I don't have those numbers memorized, but like I said, go to the tour dates page of lukeski.com.
I might go to Gen Con.
That would be cool. So, yeah, Friday night, we're actually finally doing, officially for realsies, we're doing Friday Night Live. It'll be a at least 90-minute show featuring myself, the Damsels of Dorkington, Mark Gunn, Tom Smith, and Dan the Bard. Saturday afternoon, I'll be doing my usual 15 minutes at the costume contest. And then Saturday night, I'm doing a one-hour concert on a pretty decent-sized stage over at one of the other hotels. And it should be pointed out that on Saturday night, basically on that same stage, 7 p.m. is the Damsels, 8 p.m. is Mark Gunn, 9 p.m. is Luke Ski, and 10 p.m. is Tom Smith. Hmm. So you're going to want to look up and get tickets for all those if you want to sit around and have a fun evening of, you know, comedy and entertainment and music.
Now you're suddenly awake.
So go to GenCon.com and or go to the tour dates page of Lukeski.com for all the details on how to make sure you get the correct tickets and stuff for all those shows.
I refuse to sleep without a boob in my mouth, Mom.
And now that Lukeski's Kickstarter is over, it is time to promote Worm Quartet's Songs of the Maniacs Kickstarter, which has already reached its initial goal, but now Shoebox has a stretch goal. his initial goal is $1,300. His stretch goal is $2,600. And right now he has just over $2,100. You can get all kinds of neat stuff from Worm Quartet, including physical albums, MP3 albums, awesome jump drives made from Atari cassettes, or, you know, cartridges that look like Worm Quartet albums. It's neat. There's Shoebox will do a song on any subject you pick.
How much do you have to pay for that?
$400. And
damn, I wish I could afford
for it. For a house concert, it's $600, and for a house concert with Worm Quartet and Devo Spice, it's $1,000. So, you know, that's stuff.
Now I have to ask myself, if I could have Shoebox write in a song on any topic, what would it be?
So, yeah. So that is things to be plugging, which are now have been done plugged. So, what shade of pink are you wearing, Carrie?
I'm wearing a pink shirt over my shoulders and not much else right now.
Ah. And you're wearing a baby.
I'm wearing a baby on my boob.
So, okay, a couple of caricature stories. There were these three girls who were either prepubescent or just barely pubescent. I don't know how old they were, maybe 11 or 12. And you know that thing where you tap somebody on their shoulder so that they look, but then you're standing somewhere else, and then they just are like, who the fuck tapped my shoulder, huh? You know.
Right.
So I was sitting down in my chair drawing caricatures for, you know, a great deal of an evening, and somebody kept coming up and tapping me on my shoulder while I was working. And then I would look, and nobody would be there. And then eventually I noticed that it was like these three girls, and this one girl in a red shirt was the one doing the tapping.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, she did it, and I turned and I saw that it was them, and then I kind of stood up because I wasn't drawing anyone at that time, and I just kind of stood there and stared at them as they walked away, pretending not to know who I was, you know, and kind of kept my eyes on them as they got all the way to the other side of the arcade with this look on my face of, you know, can I help you? You tapped on my shoulder. I know you tapped on my shoulder. You know that I know that you tapped on my shoulder. Are you going to acknowledge any of this, or are you just going to continue to be stupid little bitches about it? And, of course, you know, they didn't do anything. So, shortly after that, as I was packing up my stand to put it away, I was carrying the round table I use back to where I leave it. And as I was walking, I saw out of the corner of my eyes the three girls were sneaking up behind me one more time with the red girl, you know, about to reach out and tap my shoulder again. So right as she got somewhat...
This pause brought to you by Spit Up.
There, I get it.
You'll want to wash that in hot water.
Yeah.
Or throw it out.
I'll wash it in hot water.
Let's get some more here.
It opens his mouth like a Play-Doh Fun Factory, like, blah, I am the Play-Doh Fun Factory, baby. Aw. Anyway.
Okay, guy.
I'm carrying a table. I see them out of the corner of my eye coming towards me, and right as she gets within about a foot of me, I suddenly turn my head to the side and say, can I help you? And when I said, can I help you? By the time I got to the word, you know, help in that sentence, the girl screamed really loud, like super teenage girl scream, because I startled the hell out of her. Mm. It's like, you know, can I? And then, like, they all ran off. So I just felt really satisfied, like, yeah, continue to mess with me. Because, of course, in my head, I kind of... I don't know. They're just a bunch of stupid kids being stupid, but it just really kind of started to get to me. It's like, why does she think it's okay for her to continue doing this? Where are her parents to tell her, don't bother this guy who's obviously some self-employed dude drawing freaking cartoons for a living in a goddamn arcade in Gurnee, Illinois? Don't fuck with him. It's not nice. Anyway.
Hyper, baby, it's hyper.
So, okay.
Oh, he's looking at the kitty, I think.
I'm looking at a kitty. So
he's trying to following his, always trying to follow his eyes to see what he's staring at.
Are you looking at me now, guy?
No, he's looking at. You're looking Uncle at my Luke. Face.
So there was this boy who sat down, and I said he was going to get a drawing with a body, and I said, okay, what body do you want? And he said, I want X-Men. And I said, okay, which one? He said, I want X-Men. And I said, okay, which one? He said, I want X-Men. And then I paused, and I said, you want Wolverine? And he said, yes! And then I drew him as Wolverine.
Aww.
So he obviously doesn't know
How old was he?
That Wolverine is not old enough to know that Wolverine is the name of the character and not X-Men. And then I think it was his brother sat down and kind of threw me for a loop at first because I said, what did you want to be drawn as? And he said, I want to be drawn as a ghost. And I was kind of confused. And then I realized, oh, he's talking about the Slimer body I have in my body book.
Mm.
Although he seemed to me, to be way too young to know what Ghostbusters is.
Well,
because he didn't say, I want to be Slimer from Ghostbusters or anything. He said he wanted to be a ghost.
Well, so I mean, you know, there are children who have parents that grew up in the 80s yes. that loved Ghostbusters and want their children to see it.
Yep.
Like, you know, I will, you know, when he's old enough, show this film to my son.
Yes. So, comments.
Comments. Go at the end of the show.
So, we have two comments and a third one that just came in over the wire. So, Arkel says, Luke may already have been aware of this, but the Nostalgia Critic did an excellent takedown of Garbage Pail Kids movie. I'm going to include a link here for everyone's convenience. And then he includes a link, which is at thatguywiththeglasses.com, Nostalgia Critic's review of Garbage Pail Kids. So you can either go to the Bad Rapport episode 63 page and find that link, or you can go to thatguywiththeglasses.com and search for it yourself. I haven't sat down to watch the whole thing yet. I only watched the first minute or two back when I just was curious to see if he had done one, and he had. So, Carrie?
Wildcard says, oh my god, that Martian kitty bit had me laughing so hard at work that I was getting strange looks from my co-workers. Well done, Luke.
Yes, that bit was by Steve Martin. And it is from the audiobook of his book called Pure Drivel, which I found on CD when I went to the Twin Cities. So I'm very happy to have found that, and I thought Carrie would enjoy hearing about kittens.
I think it was one of the many times when I wasn't really able to pay attention because I was watching a baby.
Yes.
So I don't think I really heard it, unfortunately.
So final comment from Madman on the Loose, who says, it was traumatic watching my daughter get her shots as a baby, too. There was a one-second delay as the shock hit, followed by the screaming. I have noticed that delay with anyone when they get hurt, but it is always most noticeable with a baby, especially when they are in a good mood. So, thank you, Ken, for your comment. So, if you would like to leave a comment for this show, you can do so at its page at badreport.com, BADREPPORT.com. Just find the entry for this episode and click on comment, and you can leave a comment for us, and we'll read it on the show. You can also leave us a message at the Bad Report hotline, which is 916-LUKESKI, 916-585-3754, 916-585-3754. You can also leave us an iTunes review, which no one has done in quite a while. Or give us an iTunes star rating of hopefully 5.
You were still a sperm last time somebody left us an iTunes review, I think.
It was January.
Oh, okay. You were still a small fetus.
Fetus, don't fail me now.
So I will miss you guys during episode 65. Maybe I'll do some sort of brief appearance type of thing, and then I'll be back for episode 66.
Yes.
Thank you.
So on behalf of Alex, who is now becoming a bartender, serving drinks to anyone in his vicinity. So, yes, until next time, I'm Luke.
And I'm Carrie.
And there's Alex. And there's Abby. And we will see you next time on Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, we're the guys who make the SNL digital shorts. I'm Andy.
I'm Yorma.
And I'm Justin Bieber.
Akiva.
Gesundheit.
Tonight we are celebrating our 100th short, so come with us.
Won't you?
Congratulations to us. Truly a major milestone.
Celebration.
Yes. Of us. Here's what we're going to do. Shake off the cobwebs and limber up. Stretch it out and do plenty of Pilates. Cause tonight,
we're gonna suck our own.
Wait, what?
What?
It's disgusting.
No, it's not.
Hey, look, it's Shy Ronnie and Reba.
It's a celebration that we're going to party. You know we getting naughty. Take it, Shy Ronnie. I'm a dude.
Ronnie, bitch, and I'll rip your ass open.
We've done the creep and punched people before eating. We've done things in our pants that don't bear repeating.
No. Tonight, they're gonna suck their own.
Excuse me! What is happening?
So shoot your laser cannon at your woman's pal. Raise up our glasses and
throw it on the ground. Alcohol is poison, man.
Take it, Mahmood.
Yeah. Body fusion lady.
With that,
well, I was tricked into doing this.
I don't endorse this song. No, 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 no.
Yes, 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 I do endorse this song. My name is Will Ferrell, and I'm sucking my own dog. Harry Carey, Jeff O'Dea. I pleasure myself. Congratulations to me.
Hey, come on, man. This is our thing.
Three Beth subs. Count them, bitch.
Get out of here.
I'll go by my own choice.
Take us home now.
100 digital shorts.
99.
It was obviously built into this.
Hell yeah!
And all of them were written by Lorne.
Lorne Michaels.
So tonight we're sucking our own
100 times.
100 times.
Through my alarm, activate Siri and say, call Paul.
Who this?
It's me, man.
Yo, Samper, kick back.
Tonight is the night.
Broadway, Sister Act.
The show's not delayed.
Let's merc some brunch.
I know a cute French place.
Meet me outside, crush.
My core is ripped.
That workout was true.
Man, I can almost taste those mimosas for real.
The menu changes at 3. We better start jamming.
I love that brunch more than McAdams loves chanting.
Dubstep. 259.
Made it on a technicality.
Expedited.
No yo,
less calories.
The plating is crack.
I detect sage butter.
How you wanna pay Chris?
Go Dutch, motherfucker.
Gonna sister act
like a pistol act.
Buck wild in the streets off a sixer pack.
We gonna sister act
like we got racks on racks.
Cause once you buy them, you can't give your tickets back.
Yo, hold up, hold up. Hey yo, Chris, we gonna have to hit him with some new fish for 2012, my dude. So why don't you drop it on him like right now?
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Bars. Pete to the AR. Stupid markets up at all the Pottery bars.
Young sandwich and I came to catch wreck. Still waiting on a YouTube check. Don't mess with Magnolia cause the line's too long.
Buzzing bumps with my clip.
Now back to the song.
Yo, peep the marquee.
They some funny ass nuts.
We got 99 problems but this itch ain't one. Sneak in the flask filled with sweet vermouth.
We take more shots in the theater than John Will's booth.
Flip up a notch
cause we're cultural mavens.
Like Stim and we scream out,
that's so raven. Gonna sister act
like a pistol act.
All up in the theater like aristocrats.
We gonna sister act
like we got racks on racks.
Cause once you buy them, you can't give your tickets back.
On these New York streets, I hold my fake rap penmanship.
That's how it began,
and that's how I'ma finish it.
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Tracy, who is your doctor?
Dr. Spaceman! Dr. Spaceman!
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.